prepare yourself for the terror. The prison of madness, where few enter and none return.
Welcome to Unsung Horrors. With Lance. And Erica.
Leave all your sanity behind. It can't help you now.
Welcome to another episode of Unsung Horrors, the podcast where we discuss underseen horror movies, specifically those which have fewer than 1,000 views on Letterboxd. I'm Erica.
I'm Lance.
And it is Shawgust.
It is Shawgust. It is our favorite time. Well, one of our favorite times of year.
It's all like, I can't pick. Jolly January, No Rules November, Horror Gives Back, yeah, Shawgust.
I mean, every 2 weeks is my favorite time. That's when we record. So pretty much every 2 weeks, guys. Not including the bonus episode. So.
That's true, yeah.
But Shawgust is a great time of year.
Yeah. And I'm glad to see we've got a bunch of people who are really diving in this year.
Yes.
I think Francisco has been sharing his picks daily that he's been watching. Adam's watching a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. He got some stuff from Netflix, like the DVDs.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was still happening.
I didn't. Well, John did it like last year because he was like, yeah, there's some older movies that like you just can't find anywhere. And
but I think Netflix has them. That's wild.
I think we tried it for like a month and we're like, never mind.
Well, yeah, he got Corpse Mania and
Seeding of a Ghost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two of my bangers. Favorites.
Yeah.
And then I saw that list you shared from Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, yeah. Ryan's got his list up on Letterboxd. Matt's watching some Shaw Brothers. So yes. It's growing.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Hashtag Shawgust.
So we are kicking off Shawgust with Bewitched from 1981. This has a Blu-ray from 88 Films. I did check around after our last episode, and it does look like pretty much sold out.
Yeah.
On 88 and Diabolik and Orbit. You may be able to find it like on eBay or something.
I think the DVD is still available in some places. But yeah, the Blu-ray is pretty much sold out from what I can find.
And honestly, like you're fine with the DVD because the only special feature on the Blu-ray, no shade at 88 Films, is the commentary that Lance and I both hate.
Terrible.
Mm.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later. But so as of this recording, Bewitched has 890 views on Letterboxd. Quick summary. The film opens with the discovery of a young girl's body, with a large spike having been forced into her head. The police convict the father, who does confess but claims that he was cursed by a woman in Thailand. He implores the detective to investigate in order to corroborate his story to help get the curse lifted, even though he is sentenced to death. The detective investigating travels to Thailand and also becomes cursed by the same black magician and must enlist a monk to help him fight the black magician. So Bewitched was directed by Kwai Chi Hung. He is responsible for some of the best supernatural Hong Kong horror movies out there. The Boxer's Omen being The Goat, Hex, Corpse Mania, which we covered last Shawgust.
Yes.
Bamboo House of Dolls, The Killer Snakes, Ghost Eyes. One movie that I watched a while ago called Payment in Blood from 1973. This one is really good. I did watch it with no subs, but it was really easy to follow. But I wouldn't recommend doing that. I would just wait. I'm sure there's so many of these movies that are finally getting releases that I expect that this one, unless like the elements are just gone or trash, that this should get a release too, because it's really great. And then one of the others that's sort of outside of the horror realm that he directed, but still definitely has Chi Hung's flair and I think has some horror to it, is Killer Constable.
Yeah. I just watched that for the first time.
Same. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good. And I think your review mentioned something about filming at night or like shooting nighttime scenes.
Yeah. That nobody, I mean, somebody probably does, but like, I think I just commented that nobody does it better than Kwai Chi-Hung, because it's in all of his movies, he's so atmospheric.
Mm-hmm. Like it reminded me a lot of Corpse Mania, like the shots at night, like that
the blue lighting,
and it looks fucking great. So.
It does. He's definitely probably my favorite, not just Shaw Brother horror movie director, but probably just director overall.
Yeah.
Like, he is so good.
I love his stuff. If you haven't checked out most of those films, he's a great place to start, especially if you're new to Hong Kong or Shaw Brothers horror films. So the film was composed by Eddie Wong. He also worked on Hex, but he did mostly do martial arts and drama films, Return to the 36th Chamber and The Chinese Boxer. There are some score elements that are not his. I'm not taking credit for this because John covered this film on his old podcast, Late Night Psychorama. And I remember
Bewitched.
Yeah. And I remember him bringing up that they used part of the score from Phantasm in this. And it's not like the main theme that everyone knows really well, but it's so the part when his daughter, or he imagines his daughter, is stabbing him. It's the very beginning of that score, like the tinking and then the drums leading up to the main score.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, John's ear, like, I don't know how he fucking,
yeah,
shit like that. I wouldn't have got that. So all credit goes to John for pointing that out.
Yeah. There's another scene in this score that reminded me of kind of, it's a heartbeat. It's like a boom, boom, boom. And it reminded me like of Italian zombie horror movie, like Fulci or something.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't know if that's an original, but yeah, there's a lot of elements that are definitely inspired from existing horror movies.
Yeah, if not stolen.
Stolen, yeah. Exactly.
All right, screenwriter is Saito An. He also worked on Boxer's Omen, Corpse Mania, Killer Constable, Killer Angels, and Buddha's Palm. Have you seen Buddha's Palm?
I haven't.
That's a good one. I think we watched that for one of John's birthday marathons. It might have been a couple years ago. But yeah, Buddha's Palm, really good. Cinematography by Hsin Ye Lee. He's got only 13 film credits, but he's got some bangers in there. He's got Boxer's Omen, Hex, Seating of a Ghost. There is one other one he did called Bloody Beast, which I watched, I think, last year. And it's a category 3 film about a guy who's triggered by breasts and breastfeeding. And he kills women and children. So,
yes.
You know, obviously I watched it. So.
I have that on my watch list.
Yeah, it's fun.
I need to watch that.
Another crew member that we don't normally get into art direction. I think we do occasionally, but I did want to point out Johnson Sao Chong Sang has almost 100 film credits, including 36 Chamber, The Super Inframan, Mighty Peking Man, Come Drink With Me, 5 Deadly Venoms, Legend of the 7 Golden Vampires, which is, you know, if you're new to Shaw Brothers horror, that one is a great sort of gateway into it because it's a Hammer co-production.
It's a little subtle.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good introduction. You're right.
Yeah. He also worked on Hex, and no spoilers, but he also worked on Lance's pick for Shawgust.
Yes. I mean, his art direction's amazing. I also see Battle Wizard on there.
Yeah.
Which is another kind of like a bloody parrot. Like, what the hell's happening here?
That one's fun.
And my pick too, which we'll get to.
Yes. So getting into the cast. Ai Fei plays Steven, or the father, in this. He's got about 50 film credits. He was also in Killer Constable, Web of Death, which was my Spider Labyrinth double feature pick, if I remember correctly. I think I went for like theme. Okay.
Right.
I should have just gone back and looked on Instagram, but I can't remember my double feature picks.
I'm pretty sure. I know you mentioned it. I don't know if it was your actual pick,
okay.
But I'm pretty sure
okay.
It was.
He was also in House of Traps, Human Lanterns, another really great Shaw Brothers horror film.
Yeah, that was great.
And Descendant of the Sun, which is the Shaw Brothers Superman film, which I highly recommend. It's also got a conveyor belt of babies being dropped into a fire.
There's always a reason. All these movies you've seen.
But they're also, like, Shaw Brothers doing Superman is super fun. So.
So many Shaw Brothers movies I need to see.
You can never run out. Yeah. Next in the cast, we have Melvin Wong, who plays Detective Bobby Wong. He's got 80 plus film credits. I guess the only credit I will give to the commentary on this is that he's actually working as a lawyer now.
Yeah.
Or at least he was as of the time of recording of the commentary.
Yeah, I saw that. He is still practicing law in Hong Kong, but he does some TV like cameos and small parts.
Yeah. But he's recognizable because of that mustache. He's been in plenty of other films where I've seen him, and if he's playing a cop, he's got that pipe with him as well. There's a handful of other films, so he's easy to spot.
Yeah.
When he comes up in movies. So he's been in Yes, Madam, Eastern Condors, Run and Kill, which is one of my favorite Category 3 films. I think that's getting a Blu-ray release soon. He's also in Righting Wrongs, a.k.a. Above the Law, which just got a Vinegar Syndrome release. And our friends Sam and Charles from Twitch of the Death Nerve, they've got a video essay on that. So if you don't have it, be sure to pick it up. And then one other one that I texted you about that he's in, because yeah. I was like, Lance, this movie was made for you, called We're Going to Eat You.
Yes, I watched it. And it was, it is made for me. And yeah, Melvin Wong plays a guy named Rolex, who's kind of like this... I don't know. He's this criminal that the lead's after the whole time, but he kind of tries to change his ways. But this movie has so many great quotes in here. I mean, it's subtitled, so I don't know how accurate it is. But, oh, it's so funny. It's how you do horror comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I was already like, Lance would like this up to a certain point. But like when the roller skates came out, yes. I was like, this is 100% for Lance. Texted him immediately.
Yeah, when like the main gang leader's like, I'll feed you my farts, yelling at a girl who's like, give me your heart. Oh, it's just
there's another fart line in there too. It's something like, say what you mean or shit out of or speak out a fart or
yeah,
something.
Or farted, yes.
For farted out. It's
like, yeah, again, I don't know what the translations are or how accurate, but it's very fun to watch. It's on YouTube.
Yes. I mean, sometimes the lowbrow humor just hits just right. All right. Other cast members, we have Lily Chan. She plays Bon. She is the scorned woman from Thailand. She's mostly in erotic thrillers. And, you know, she's kind of in her place in this one because she's not in it for that much. And a good chunk of what she is in it for, she's topless and bouncing around.
Yeah,
so.
Slow motion. Mm-hmm. She's very sinister in this.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's planning stuff even before she has a reason to. But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Then Fan Lei, she plays Mary, the detective's wife. She's also Thai, so she's able to provide some insight to her husband about the spells that are going on and what to be wary of and things like that.
Tells him not to eat anything because while you're in Thailand, that could put you under a spell, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be careful, like, don't get a haircut while you're there. And if you do, make sure you get your hair back.
Yeah.
That's something I learned from my double feature pick. So the grandmother in this, Stephen's mother, is actually played by Sammo Hung's grandmother, which I thought was neat.
Yeah.
And then the black magician, Hussein Abu Hassan, he is supposedly a real expert in black magic. And that's sort of, he was like a friend of a friend of Mona Fong, who is a producer on, you know, good chunk of Shaw Brothers films. And so he was brought in for this role. He advised on some of the set design related to black magic. Mm-hmm. But he also plays an evil sorcerer in Centipede Horror and Red Spell Spells Red, which both have upcoming releases from Error 4444. Literally, as of this recording, they went on pre-sale yesterday. So definitely check those out if you like Shaw Brothers horror.
Yeah. And I guess it's like realistic black magic portrayal because mm-hmm. he was, yeah, like you said, a consultant like on films to handle this type of stuff. So,
yeah. He also played a shaman in Seating of a Ghost. So he playing the mystic and he's got that look to him, you know, aside from just being an expert in it in general. I think I look at him and I'm like, yeah, he's an evil black magic guy.
He's got the evil eye for sure.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for the cast and crew. We'll get more into this film right after this promo from our network.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, so I want to get like the bad thing out of the way first.
Okay.
I don't like this commentary.
Yeah, no, the commentary is terrible. It's Bay Logan, who is, you know, he has a close connection to douchebag Harvey Weinstein.
Yep.
So the connection, you know, isn't just a business connection. There's some, you know, sexual accusations and stuff as well. So, but he is, I'm going to do quotes, an expert on Hong Kong cinema. And he's a producer, he's a writer, a screenplay writer.
Yeah.
Obviously, this commentary was before a lot of that came out.
Right. I mean, I know that, you know, he lived in Hong Kong for a very long time. He was heavily involved. He knew a lot of these people. So I wouldn't say he's not an expert, but he doesn't really demonstrate that in this commentary as much because he spends more than half the time talking about his own projects and people he knows and name dropping and things like that.
Yeah. He focuses on a lot of the locations and he just says like, oh, I'm filming, you know, a movie there with Steven Seagal. I'm like, oh, that'll be successful, Bay Logan. But yeah, he talks about a lot of his past projects and ongoing projects as the movie's going along. Not only that, though, but there's a moral to this story, which is like, hey, ungrateful men, keep your dick in your pants, pretty much. Like, stay away from casual sex, you know.
It's literally spelled out at the end of the film, like on screen. It says, like, this is a warning against infidelity and be careful, be wary of black magic.
Yeah, of witchcraft. And that is like, he's the audience. He's the actual focus audience, like. That moral is directed at Bay Logan and men like him.
Yeah.
Based on some of the, you know, the accusations that have come forth since then.
Yeah.
So it's really gross when I hear him. He sticks up a lot for the, you know, for Steven, saying like, you know, why he doesn't deserve all this. He just went to Thailand to have some fun, you know? And he said something like, so he's getting, you know, he has a spell cast on him and he's getting punished for, quote, not showing up for a date with a Thai ho, you know, it's just,
right.
Which is kind of, it's what happening. I mean, what happens in the movie, but at the same time, the fact that it's this guy talking.
And also like, yeah, the way that he's saying it, like, no, she's actually not a ho. He mistakes her for one.
Right. She's a typist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him just keeps sticking up, like leave him alone. It's just a fling. I was just like, dude, you're gross.
Yeah.
Quit talking gross. Like, get out of here.
And obviously, if you want to drive the point home of the message of the film, then you can't just be like, oh, here's a casual little like revenge element.
Yeah.
Like, take it to the extreme to drive your point home. Subject this guy to multiple curses and like that sort of thing. I mean, it's
the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
He's just kind of arguing it. He's sitting there arguing it. So. And I mean, I know you probably hated this too, but he kept talking about how he hates seeing child death.
Oh my God. As soon as he did that, I was like, I fucking hate this guy.
As soon as he, like in the very beginning, because, you know, it opens up with, you know, the little girl with the 9-inch nail on her head. He's like, you know, I don't like watching, I don't like seeing this. There's another scene where a little boy gets shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh man, I hate that. I hate that I hate children getting hurt.
Right. I mean, here's the thing is like, I get it.
I do too.
If people are advert, like, I understand that. I mean, I understand people are going to look at me and be like, what the fuck is wrong with her? But I understand if you are a parent and looking at something like that makes you uncomfortable, but how adamant he is, he's like, oh my God, I hate this. And just making it sound like it's a bad element of the film itself is what annoys me.
Right. I mean, he was the wrong choice. Obviously, he does know his stuff with Hong Kong cinema, but he was the wrong choice for this movie because, first off, the moral of the story, he's arguing, and this child death, which is the whole setup of the story, a father killing his daughter. Like, it has to be shown. Sorry. Like, this is Shaw Brothers horror. Like, get used to it, dude. All right, that's
okay. Now we're done shitting on that part. It's not even anything to do with the film, but it is. I did just want to get that out of the way. Let's just, you know, shower this movie with love. So
yeah, it deserves it.
So a few things that it's impossible for me to pick any sort of favorite scenes out of this.
I have a few, but yeah, it is hard.
Like I have a few listed, but I'm like, if you ask me to pick one, I'm be like, no, I can't. So there's so much great stuff in this. I think one of my first favorite ones is when Detective Wong goes with his translator or interpreter to the Mystic Woman and they get the spirit of the vegetable basket.
Yes.
Also, like, and I guess I give credit to Logan for this, calling it like kind of a Ouija board, but it's not really. It's more like the oracle, like where they're writing out stuff.
Right. It's spelling out and answering your questions.
Exactly.
For sure.
It's not using like a planchette or something like that. So that part, and when, you know, Wong is asking questions and his translator is going over and he's like, well, would impotence be like a side effect of this? And the translator looks over to the witch and he says something and he like wiggles his finger, I guess, goes down. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good scene. You're right. I mean, that's like included in one of my favorite scenes too. One of mine that just stood out. There's a lot of like, what is even happening moments going on. I wouldn't say it's unnecessary subplots, but there are a bunch of stuff with like, there's this nutcase that the police are trying
quote unquote. That's his literal name and credits.
Yes. I'm not calling him nutcase. That's what they refer to him as in the movie. Sometimes it feels like there might be four movies going on at once, but there's this one scene which kind of falls into the subplots, weird subplot, but the wife goes to see a priest.
Right.
And, or I guess he's some sort of priest, like an exorcist priest. And he's like, oh yeah, it sounds like your husband definitely has a spell on him. I can take care of it. And as they're talking, a girl's having trouble with her car and she reverses and just plows into him, runs over him. And the spellcaster, the evil sorcerer, just pops up like in the background over a hill and he's holding, I guess, like the ripped out brake wires, like, argh! And the blood just goes down the side of the street and he collects it with a rag for like his next spell. But that's one of my favorite scenes.
I love it.
It just pops out when he pops up holding the ripped out brakes.
It's like, there's no black magic involved with this. I just ripped out the brake, ripped out the cord here. And he's got those mirrored sunglasses on. It's great.
It's odd. It's one of those moments where you're like, okay, it probably didn't need it, but it 100% needed it to be like my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah. One of my others is, I guess we'll call it, there's a wizard battle or a final battle, and I wouldn't even really call it a battle at the end because it's more so like the monk, like the black magician doesn't really fight back against the monk at the end.
Right.
He just gets like overtaken by him. So let's just call it like the primary battle between the monk and the black magician. I think Maguso, I think is his name.
Yeah. Magusu.
Magusu. And so they're in two different places. And it's kind of a lot like, I think we had the same thing happen in Black Magic where, you know, one's doing something at their place but the magic carries through. So, but there's so many great moments from this, including, so basically Steven has, there's a picture of him with four spikes driven through his face. And so what the monk is trying to do is, I don't want to call it virtually, but sort of telepathically get those spikes removed from the picture in order to lift the curse. Mm-hmm. While he's trying to do that, the black magician is trying to hold the spikes down. And at one point he's got his hand on top of one and there's this really great effect of the spike coming through his hand. Mm-hmm. Like that prosthetic looks fucking great.
Yeah, you can kind of see like it's a real probably hand underneath the table and the fingers are moving and out, but it's the actual back of the hand is prosthetic and it's actually going through.
It looks great.
The practical effects in this movie are next level.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just so inventive. Every scene you kind of like never seen done before. I mean, this is what, 81?
81, 82? Yeah.
81. The knife on the wire trick.
Yes.
Where Wong's wife is stabbed during the flying spell. Mm-hmm. The pregnant woman. For the oil, the carcass, and that oozing black oil from her nose. That's another one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
The vat of dead babies.
Oh my God. Yes. That's part of the first wizard battle. And
yes.
Again, credit to John for this because he called that cauldron of It's like guts, fetuses, a bunch of other shit in there. John's like, oh, it's like he's taking a break from his sport to go get some Gatorade.
That's exactly. I had noted like a Kool-Aid looking vat of dead babies. And yeah, he basically takes two, he just dunks two big bowls and chugs them to replenish.
Yeah.
And he does end up fighting back and kind of not beating the monk, but that actually is what ends the battle because he has that power from that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's fucking great. One of my favorite parts of this too is another, I'll call him a character, that makes an appearance a couple of times, the fake bat.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
it's the cutest bat ever.
Yeah, the first time it's actually on the wall,
under
kind
the
of
fold,
like,
yeah.
And it looks like Moss Man. You remember? Well, did you ever have He-Man toys?
I had Castle Grayskull and all that stuff. Yeah.
And there was the Moss Man that actually was furry. He was kind of furry. He was green.
I don't remember.
I had him and I loved him. He was kind of stinky, but you. But that's like when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, that's the Moss Man bat.
Yeah,
that is so good.
I love."
And that. Then of course the bat comes back at the end.
Mm-hmm. That's so cute.
Yeah, there's so many good. There's so many great stuff. That, I mean, even the subtle stuff like the hair spot on the chest.
Yeah.
The little gray patch of hair, which reminded me of Scott Howard's dad from Teen Wolf.
I went another direction. I went blood on Satan's claw, like the devil's pat or devil's skin.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, I'll go Teen Wolf too, as well. I was going to say Teen Wolf 2, but I didn't want people to think I was talking about the sequel. So
R.I.P. James Hampton. Yeah. when Steven has the worm spell on him and like this leprous bloated sack of rotting flesh, puking up these maggots, mealworms, and this lavender fluid. And then he starts just gouging out and he has like this bloated belly and he's just stabbing himself with milk pouring out.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the hospital at this point because he's so far gone because it starts with like one little pustule on his face. And then by the time he's done telling his story to the detective, he's got like these little pustules all over him. And it starts really subtle where like he'll push on one and some goo will come out of it. And then I think the next time we see him, he is like fully wrapped up like a mummy. His belly's completely distended. He's puking up the fucking mealworms. He's cutting up his own stomach. And I mean,
it's like a scene that kind of pops up because he's kind of, you know, he's left and, you know, he's been sentenced to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's dying, but we're now focused on Wong trying to figure out and, you know, all this black magic stuff.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, the evil wizard is going to Hong Kong to kind of stop Wong.
Right.
And you just kind of cut to this scene of Steven in the hospital and you're like, oh yeah, is that him? Because you can't see him. He's completely wrapped.
Right.
Is that a pregnant lady? Like, what is happening? And you realize what's going on because they mentioned the worm spell. And he starts puking up all these mealworms and these maggots and it completely catches you off guard, but it's just...
Yeah.
It's so terrifying.
It's gory as hell. Like, it's not, I mean, it's something that you would expect to find in something like a Fulci film. Probably because of the maggots or the mealworms, but my mind just
and the atmosphere,
goes
too.
There.
I would have to say Bewitched, and I've watched a lot of, you know, horror. This is our annual Shoggist. I would say Bewitched is probably the scariest of all that I've watched.
You think so?
Yeah. There's very little humor in this. I mean, there are humorous moments.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is when Magusu, the evil sorcerer, he's going to the hotel to get Wong's hair.
Oh.
And he sneaks into the wrong hotel room.
Yeah.
So he ends up like sneaking back out and going to the front desk. And he's like, hey, where's he staying?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I need a little assistance, but that whole scene's hilarious.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be intentionally hilarious. I think what they were leaning on more for comic relief doesn't really work. Like the quote unquote nutcase guy.
Right.
Like they're trying to be like, oh, look at him. He's like drooling milk and like running around like a moron.
He's running around just killing and kicking cops' asses.
Yeah.
Like left and right.
So I don't really have a problem with that subplot because I see like eventually how it does tie in with everything. But I wouldn't miss that subplot if it wasn't there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's a few of those, like I kind of mentioned too. I mean, obviously the scene with the priest and the brakes, keep that.
Oh, yeah.
Him going to the doctor, you know, I
Well, they had to, I guess, establish he has a heart condition.
Yeah, and then like he's cured if he doesn't work so hard. And
which
and
no, has, that's not how that yeah. works.
Yeah, some of that is a little questionable, but yeah, I love, like I said, I think it is one of my scariest movies, Shaw Brothers movies, because the horror in this is immediate. I love how it right away you get like creepy chanting over the credits, mm-hmm. very much like The Exorcist, where it's just black screen with just credits, and there's this kind of haunting chanting going on, and then you immediately cut to like all the ants, which mm-hmm. is just kind of gross to watch, and then the little girl's dead body, which the kid finds with his frisbee, or when he's throwing the frisbee in the park, he finds the little girl's, the daughter's dead body. And it's like a Stand By Me moment where it's not like realistic looking. I mean, it is for the most part, but it's just so like in your face and sudden where you're like, oh my God, that's going to cause nightmares.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, for sure. I like the, I mentioned it before, the final quote unquote battle at the end mm-hmm. where like, so the monk basically uses this golden leaf from a Buddha statue to, I guess, finally defeat the black magician, who then gets caked in, like his skin starts wilting. It's used with like candle wax, but then like these bubbles start coming up all over his skin and eventually pop. And then he just turns into an old woman and melts away.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to call it like it is. He turns into a jizz monster. It looks like he's covered in cum. And apparently they used, you know, this was on the commentary where it's insinuated that they used, I guess he's guessing, but candle wax and mm-hmm. condoms for those like blistering, those popping effects.
Right.
But that, where he turns into the old witch, I think that is also one of my favorite shots because it's a single shot. And the camera work in this, I think, is amazing too. It's very like handheld moving shots, which was fairly new to the Shaw Brothers films at the time. Yeah, that scene where he turns into the jizz monster and he falls down. It's in the airport and he falls out and the camera pans down and he's underneath like a row of waiting chairs in the airport. Mm-hmm. And he starts kind of pulling himself up. The camera slowly pulls up and it's no longer the Hussein Abu Hassan, the actor. It's this old lady that comes up from behind the chairs all in a single shot. It's just done really well. And it's, you know, again, another one of those moments where you're just caught completely off guard because what you're watching shouldn't be happening.
Right.
I love that scene.
Love it. So we haven't really talked about, I mean, we've kind of touched on some of the curses so far, but there's a lot in this film. So
yeah, got them listed.
So the first three are curses on Stephen, the guy who went to Thailand and made Bond mad. So And there is something like in the film, which I think is interesting, is like while they were having their fun together in Thailand, she was already like collecting his hair and getting his birth date and all this other stuff. And so I'm not saying like I blame her because obviously like he is the one who is being used as an example to teach this lesson, the moral of the story.
Right.
But it's like, What are you doing, Bond? Like you're already like planning your revenge before you even have a guess that he's going to betray you somehow.
Yeah, she's sinister. I mean, nobody wants a partner like that. No. but it's obviously it's the whole setup of the movie, but her motives are like, okay, well, you are a very bad person and you had this plan from the start because mm-hmm. as soon as he enters her apartment for the first time, she just pulls out his driver's license or the equivalent of a driver's license and sees his date of birth.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's up to it.
So for sure. So after he doesn't come back on the date that she has specified that he come back to visit her, she goes to see the black magician who then performs the first spell, which is the carcass oil spell.
Yes.
I'm going to have a hard time picking a favorite spell. This probably is my favorite one, though.
Yeah, because the whole scene, the whole setup of that, of, you know, as soon as they say, like, oil of carcass, like, it pops up on screen, and then it shows how it's collected and how it's
I like it. It's like a how-to guide of like, here's how this spell works.
And it is.
I'm taking notes.
And the way that's set up too, it's like it. So like I said, the camera works really great in this, but when they first present, like we're going to be walking through spells, it's kind of like a Wes Anderson movie. Cause it's like clean, you know, pictures of pagodas and like temples and then all that kind of like the ingredients laid out in front of you. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's something that Wes Anderson's always tried to recreate, but just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. They kind of do that in some martial arts films too, when they're talking about like the different styles of Kung Fu and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So and they show like how the weapons work and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. So carcass oil spell, you take the oil from the corpse of a pregnant woman. And what that does is it results in you, the person who's being cursed. I'm skipping note, like Lance kind of already talked about what the oil spell looked like. It's a corpse of this pregnant woman laying there. And then the body, it sits upright and this oil comes out of it and he collects that oil. And that's what goes into the charm that she gives to Steven and gets put around his neck and eventually creates the...
It leaks on the day he doesn't show up.
Yeah, onto his skin spot. And creates a hairy patch on his skin. What this does is create hallucinations that those closest to him will be trying to kill him. So he does think his daughter is trying to kill him. He keeps having all these nightmares. Mm-hmm. And he eventually gets told by this other mystic woman, like, nah, sorry, you're going to have to drive a 9-inch spike into your daughter's head. That's your only solution. So good. But then there's also the coffin spell, or as I like to call it, the original dick in a box spell.
Yeah, that makes him impotent.
Yeah, phallic item gets placed in a box and then drowned. So that makes him impotent. And then the last spell that Steven is subjected to is the worm spell, which we talked about. Him vomiting maggots, belly becoming distended, all of that.
That could be my favorite as far as the outcome goes, for sure. But I think since the carcass oil one, it shows so much of how it's done and the methods behind it, I think those are both my favorite.
Yeah, those ones are great. So once Steven is dead, Detective Wong is still investigating. And so the Black Magician is like, well, he's not necessarily a threat to him, but he's like, well, I got to take care of this guy because he's investigating all this. And so I'm just going to put spells on him, even though that's not necessarily what Bond paid this guy for.
Yeah, I think he wants to make sure that he doesn't try and like go to monks and good wizards and stuff like that.
So the first spell that Detective Wong becomes subjected to is the lemon spell.
Yeah.
Which actually it's a lime, even though it's called lemon on screen, but whatever. So what happens with that is it basically like gets a bunch of pins stuck into the lime, and then it gets buried in the asphalt. And then whenever someone steps on it, it hurts Bobby. It like hurts his heart.
One thing I need to point out about that lemon spell is I have to give mad credit to like the Hong Kong like road crew and the city keep up crew. I don't know what they're called. Like I can't think of the words, but that's a short-lived spell because they immediately see that, hey, there's a hole in the asphalt that's horribly covered. And they just find it the next morning and, you know, throw it like in the gutter or something.
Yeah. And they fix the hole right away.
Yeah. So, and also I gotta give a shout out to the cops in this because they do like an impeccable job in here, like finding their men. Like these aren't American cops like sucking on boxes of milk that you'll find in the Strangler. Okay. These guys are on the fucking case. They immediately find like the school crest from the little girl's photo. Wong immediately finds a young woman in Thailand. I just want Bobby Wong on my case and I wish the city of Austin would take care of potholes like the people in Hong Kong do.
I mean, yeah. The setup of the film, like the daughter being killed, him going to trial, all of the, like them finding him going to trial, 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's so well edited too. Cause they'll say something like, she may have gone to the school, and then like immediately they find the crest and then they go and they find Steven based on that. It's just so beautifully edited. It flows so quick.
It is really. Some other spells that Bobby is subjected to is the split head spell, which in which the magician is basically just banging on a skull of what looks like a simian, not a human.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's what, you know, what you're projecting onto it that counts. So, But it is cute because he's got his name written on it. So like that's the intention is like, here, let's give him a migraine headache.
Yeah. And there's a great zoom in. He gets these migraine headaches. And another good camera effect is the zoom in, zoom out on Wong as he's having these headaches, which is effective to showcase the pain.
Yeah. Then there's sort of a combination spell. There's the flying spell plus raising demon child. So he has to raise a demon child first and then send the demon child with flying spell to go attack. But that ends up going after the wife of the detective, which is that knife effect that we talked or that Lance talked about.
Yeah.
I do love the end where the demon child gets killed. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's in this jar with the black magician, and it's this tiny little like lima bean looking thing with a tiny like fake eye on it, and then stop motion effects like it disappears little by little.
Yeah, very Hammer horror looking.
It's great. Then there's a strangling spell, which that's probably my least favorite one, just because it's kind of basic. It's like him just strangling a doll that's meant to be Detective Wong, and while he's driving, he crashes his car.
Yeah.
And then finally, there is the death spell.
The death spell, yeah. And as soon as all these were kind of going on, actually, it was when like the raising demon child spell was happening. I was like, okay, these are genius. Like the way they're written, are they real? Are they real in any way? And it does seem like it was pulled based on real Indonesian and South Asian necromancy and spells like that. But I mean, it's a it's obviously a work of fiction, and I love it. Like, yeah. I think these spells and how they're presented and the backstories to all of them, and it's genius work.
It's so great having Hussein Abu Hassan on this, because he's like, it adds that layer of authenticity to it. Like,
right.
Yeah. There's a real snake death in here. There's a real chicken death in here, but obviously these are parts of what these, rituals and spells are comprised of.
Yeah, so one thing that I think that sets Bewitched apart from other Shaw horrors are the different locations throughout. Because, I mean, most of the shots are in the Shaw Brothers studio in their movie town. But there's a lot of, exterior shots, people in busy shopping markets, boats on the water.
All of this in Thailand.
All this in Thailand, where they sent like a second unit to film all these. But it's a little more, it's a different, it's not like, while Boxer's Omen and like Corpse Mania are probably my favorite Quay Chi Hung's and Shaw Brothers horror movies, you can tell they're all on sets.
Yeah.
For sure. And this one, I think, just feels different. And I just think it's scarier too, because it's more out in the real world and stuff where all this is happening.
Yeah. And there's such beautiful shots. Like Thailand is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they shot this, obviously in 1981, it's a lot different from when I went there in 2002, but like the Watts and like the markets and the street food, I was taken back, and I was like, oh my God, I remember all of that. Minus, I had to deal with a lot of smog, but they didn't have to have as much of that during this time. But yeah, they spend a lot of time on a lot of exterior establishing shots that aren't necessary. I don't think are necessary, but I do enjoy them being there.
Yeah, I think it does add, they aren't necessary, but I think it does add to the whole atmosphere of everything, like in how broad and kind of real these situations are, could be. And then another thing I wanted to bring up was, which I found on the commentary, which is the cut scene from the cover and poster art.
Yeah.
So there's an image that's on the DVD release where it's Stephen having sex with a woman. I mean, they're covered in like bath suds, they're in the bathtub. And that scene is supposed to be, it was cut, but it was intended to be included when he goes to the massage parlor, like the little brothel. And
it was like the fish tank brothel where it's like you pick a woman from behind the glass to sleep with.
And I guess I don't know why that scene was cut, but it would have added to that. Steven is more of a, he's visiting Thailand and he's just having sex with a bunch of women.
Right.
I thought that was interesting because there is a scene of him in the tub with his girlfriend back in Hong Kong, where I figured, okay, that's where the image is, but
yeah,
it's a cut scene.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
You don't need it. Okay. So obviously we both recommend this film.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, There's way too much to even like list off and like what I love about this film. Practical effects, atmosphere. I mean, it's just, what other movie, you know, are you going to find just a big cauldron full of baby guts and exactly. fetuses and fake flying bats and like pustules popping and
the sound, I think I may have brought this up on a past, you know, Shoggoth episode, but the sound of the Nine Inch Nail being pulled out of the skull, it's orgasmic.
It's so good.
You're not going to find that in any other movie.
I think that was the Black Magic episode because yeah. that's where they had to pull them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably a perfect pairing for this.
Yeah. What did you pick for it though?
So my favorite scenes in Bewitched are the evil spellcasters, Magus, who's, you know, played by Hussein Abu Hassan. Mm-hmm. So whenever he was on screen, I was very much into it. He was my focus. So I'm going with not only a Hussein Abu Hassan evil sorcerer double feature, but we all need more puking up bugs in our life. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm picking one of the only Hong Kong Category 3 horror movies written by a woman, and that is what you already mentioned, Centipede Horror from 1982.
Yes.
It's directed by Keith Lee. It's basically about a family who has a hex placed on them, and an evil sorcerer, played by Hassan, casts some spells on them for visiting the Southeast Asian region, namely the powerful centipede spell. So they try to defeat the evil wizard with the good wizard, which has some similarities with Bewitched. The letterbox summary might sell it better, although it's probably not completely accurate, but it's a crazed evil wizard uses his power to take revenge on beautiful women by making them vomit up live centipedes, which then proceed to eat their victims.
Yes.
So as Annie Choi from Bleeding Skull wrote about Centipede Horror, quote, centipedes are Mother Nature's giant fuck you. It's her way of reminding us that she is the one with the power, the one who can strike fear and disgust into our feeble, stupid hearts. So it makes sense that if for some insane reason you had a bunch of centipedes at your disposal, then you'd make a horror movie about them, end quote.
Yeah.
So this is Centipede Horror. There's centipedes everywhere. It's fucking gross to watch. Obviously not for everyone. Mm. Truthfully, not for most people, but
yeah,
it's, I didn't like it the first time I watched it.
I remember that. I'm still bitter about that.
Yeah. Years ago, we saw it at Dismember the Alamo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a nice, I think it was a 2K preservation of the 35 mil. Yeah. It was gorgeous to watch. I'm a believer that every film should be watched at least once. So if none of that sounds appealing to you, puking up centipedes, give it a chance. and you know, since, Hussein Abdu Hassan is like a pro spellcaster in Bewitched and in Centipede Horror, that's my pick.
Nice.
It is streaming on YouTube. It's a rough copy with English subtitles.
Yeah, wait for the Blu-ray release. I'm sure it's going to be great. Yeah,
legitimate release coming, so wait for it. What about you?
Yeah, I was initially thinking I was going to go with some sort of like Woman Scorned type of double feature, but I mean, there's so fucking many of those. How do you even like narrow it down? And
yeah,
you know, you could go anywhere from Fatal Attraction to The Housemaid to Blood Spattered Bride. Like, I can't. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just doing another fucking Hong Kong movie. So, but not Shaw Brothers, just kind of like yours. Centipede Horror is not Shaw Brothers.
Right.
My double feature is a Bangkok Dangerous double feature, The Eternal Evil of Asia from 1995. This is about four men who go on vacation to Thailand and they inadvertently commit a heinous crime. The victim's brother, who is an evil wizard, follows the men back to Hong Kong to seek vengeance, killing them off one by one. So the first of the friends' death is at the very beginning before we even learn about what they did in Thailand. So it has a sort of non-linear storytelling aspect like Bewitched and a lot of other horror, Hong Kong horror movies do. Basically, like you see a couple of these things happening and then the men have to fess up like, okay, well, yeah, here's actually what happened in Thailand. And then they have to like figure out how to defeat the evil wizard who's coming after him. But so the first guy who dies, he kills his wife and his daughter. So I had to end the episode with another one. and then he kills himself. And then, but the kills only get crazier from there. Cause that one's kind of tame. Like he hacks his wife and daughter to death cause he thinks that they're ghosts. And then he like ends up getting sort of pushed off of the roof by, I'm not spoiling anything because this is the very beginning, but pushed off the roof. But then the kills get crazier from there. Like they're also having spells put on them. So the first guy has one spell put on him. The next guy gets like, I think it's called the hunger spell, where like he can't stop eating. And then to the point where like he starts eating people and then even his own skin. Elvis Sui is in this. He's in a lot of erotic comedies. He gets turned into a literal dickhead in this film. So this has a lot more of the comedy in this film. So this would kind of lighten the mood. So I would do Bewitched first and then Eternal Evil of Asia. This is available to watch on YouTube. Oh, also a ghost gets a blowjob in this movie.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's great.
Eternal Evil of Asia.
It's super fun. I definitely recommend it. But we've got to get to our next pick for Chagas, Lance.
Portrait in Crystal.
Hell yes!
This is it. This is the one. Released in 1983, it's directed by Hua Shan, who's best known for directing the Shaw Brothers sci-fi adventure, The Super Inframan. I'm not even going to try and explain the sum of the thought or plot of this movie.
Nope.
There's no summary this episode, people. We're going to try and figure things out on the actual episode.
Yeah.
Or just talk about what we love about it. We will be having someone joining us to help us out with this too.
Yay.
Ian Jane from Rock Shock Pop is joining us again. We always love chatting with Ian.
Yes.
We first had him on as guest last year for your pick, Erica, Black Magic 2 for Shawgust. He provided the commentary on the 88 film's release of Black Magic 2. So he's now going to help us out with Portrait and Crystal. So it's on YouTube, and I'm happy to report that a new version was added a few months ago. Erica filled me in on this. The first time I watched it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I watched it last year on YouTube, and it had Portrait in Crystal 1983 English sub splashed across the screen the entire runtime.
I still cannot believe you said, like, I'm sorry. I have watched so many movies without subtitles, and I think that's pushing it. You've reached a whole new level.
Yes. I mean, it was both irritating and amazing. Okay. I kept asking myself, like, Lance, what the fuck are you doing? But yeah. Once this movie starts, and this is my my reasoning behind this.
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that's why I did that. Listeners, if you want to watch that version, it's still on YouTube.
No, don't.
I recommend the version without it. But, you know, it certainly adds to the weirdness and out of body experience the film provides.
So. Please, no. Just watch the new one that's been recently uploaded. I think it was in June. So
yeah.
Look for that date. It's got English subs. You're good to go.
Yeah, click the closed caption button for the English subs. It's there.
Yeah. I feel like the Chagas gods have smiled upon us.
Yeah.
You know,
let's get a release now of it.
Yeah. I mean, step one, have a good version available on YouTube for us to watch it 2 months before Chagas. I'm like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
The release is going to come soon now after this.
It's got to. I mean, it's such a crazy movie that we'll talk about. It currently has 268 views on Letterboxd, and it's just a visual feast for the eyes.
So much fun. If you're not already, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at Unsung Horrors. You can follow me on Letterboxd, Twitter, and Instagram at Hex Massacre.
I'm on Twitter, Letterboxd, and Instagram at Elshivey.
Guys, keep your dick in your pants and watch out for black magic. And we'll see you back next episode for Portrait in Crystal with guest Ian Jane.
Bye.
Bye.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. No, I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. Put a spell on you because you're mine. You're mine.
Hey, it's Death by Video.
I'm Phil.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Graham, saying welcome to our podcast full of merry movie mayhem.
Ever wonder what an Irish kung fu movie would look like?
It's called Fatal Deviation, and we covered it.
Ever wonder what a movie about 1,000 cats would look like?
It's called Night of 1,000 cats, and we covered it.
And it stars Hugo Stiglitz. Listen to Death by Video to hear us discuss and dissect some of the weirdest, wildest, and wackiest films ever made. All this and more on Death by Video! Woo!